And he doesn't like microphones, but he says he's going to sing out. So don't pray for me.
I tell you what, good cool morning outside, but it's warm in here, and I feel the Spirit of the Lord working and dealing with everybody. Good song service. I'm glad to be here, aren't y'all? I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about Steve and Philip and the unit and about how God demonstrated his love. It's just an amazing thing that God can look down on people like us and love us, you know, and love us regardless. And it's just overwhelming to me sometimes that I think about how God demonstrates and shows us love each and every day. That sometimes, you know, he helps us through situations and times that we don't even know about. You know, he protects us from it before we ever have to face it and take part in it. Am I on, Jake? I can't tell. Okay, I couldn't tell. Up here, we're standing behind the speakers. I might be rattling y'all's eardrums back that way. You don't ever know. Let's look at verse of Scripture today. Got a lot going on today, and I was listening to Mark make the announcements, and I thought, well, we're busy. That's a good thing. Be busy. You know, get something done. Get on with it. I want to look at Acts chapter 7. Just for a few minutes, and it's going to start in verse 54. Now, leading up to this, you're going to find that Stephen, because of his stand for God and his demonstration and speech about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, he got in trouble. You know, this is not an unusual thing for men of God and women of God to get in trouble when they truly take a stand for God. You know, it don't set well with the world and the people around them. And I've thought so many times about this, and he didn't relent, or he didn't give up. He just continued. He knew it wasn't going the way they wanted it to go, but he was going to make a demonstration of the power of God. And I want to talk this morning about how much God loved this man and how much God loves you as an individual. You know, a lot of times we lump things together with the church or a big group or maybe the world. And yes, I can tell you God loves the world, but I want to tell you, and I could call names this morning, that God loves each of you as an individual. And he's concerned about your life. He's concerned about your welfare and the things that go on in your family. There's so many times we think, well, we don't matter. But to God, you make a difference, and you do truly matter. I want to give you the illustration God showed us through his word, how much he loved Stephen as an individual. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, let's stop with just a couple of verses right here, and I want you to think about seeing the glory of God. You know, there was a time in the Old Testament, in Exodus, when Moses had a problem with the people. He said, it's a stiff-necked people, and they were giving him all kind of problems. And he went up to the mountain, and he asked God, he said, show me thy glory. And God made the request of final, and he said, I'm going to show you the glory of God. And I thought about what it is today for a child of God, for a servant of God, to see the glory of God. It changes all situations, don't it? So when Stephen looked up, it said he looked up and saw the glory of God. Now, when God reveals his glory, it's a change in situation in most people's life. Once you saw the glory of God, you have a desire to see it again. So here's Stephen, and then it looks right down at the bottom. It said, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I thought, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that God revealed himself to Stephen to help him go through the situation that he was facing. Everybody here could probably have a situation or a problem or some kind of trouble that we're either going through or have already been through, or it's going to happen tomorrow. If you haven't got trouble today, just wait till tomorrow. It'll come. And here's God. And when he said he looked up, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, you read all the other places in Scripture, and you'll find that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is sitting at the right hand of God. I want to suggest to you today that when Jesus saw what was happening to Stephen, he loved him so much, and out of concern, he came to his feet and started looking down. And when Stephen looked up, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And I got thinking, how many times in my life and how many times in your life has Jesus stood up out of concern for what's happening to you? Concern. He couldn't keep his seat anymore. He's up out of his seat just like this. He sees what's going on, and out of concern, he's up and he's looking down. And I thought, how many times in our lives has Jesus come to his feet looking down on our situation because he loved us and so concerned that he says, this is one of mine. This is one of mine. You know, I believe he's on his feet this morning looking and concerned about some folks right here today that he's come to his feet and said, those are mine. And so, in verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And so he confesses and said, I see Jesus standing up for my cause. I see Jesus on his feet out of concern of what I'm fixing to go through. They were fixing to stone Stephen. Stephen was going to pass from this life to the next. But I'm going to tell you, he left here seeing the glory of God and knowing Jesus was all behind him and supporting him, even in a time of trouble. How many of us today got trouble that you think Jesus is not concerned about? You know, that's what the world would tell us, that they don't care. It don't matter. It does matter, and it does care. God is concerned for each and every one here today. He has directed you, brought you to this place of worship, this place of praise, for a reason. You didn't just happen to show up today. God planned this. He had a plan for your life, and he's standing on his feet today looking down, concerned. He goes a little bit farther over in chapter 8, and we're going to talk about Philip just a little bit. In chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now here's another situation of God's love. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And I'm just reading this to let you know what Philip's coming out of. Now, Philip's down there sharing God's word. He's sharing Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And they're listening. They're giving heed. They're understanding what he's saying. And there's a great powerful meeting going on down there. I just love to come down the house of God and the Holy Spirit get bouncing around and everybody gets joyful and happy. Get to raising their hands, rejoicing and tears flowing. Don't y'all like those kind of meetings? And you know, and I thought about, that's the situation that Philip was in. He said there was great joy in the city. And all of a sudden, during this great, powerful meeting that's going on, and this work of God taking place, God calls Philip out and sends him out of the city down to another way because he had love for one individual, a eunuch that didn't understand. And God went to the problem, well, goes to the trouble and said, Philip, down. He said, I want you to go down so he'll understand about God's word. God desires for you to have understanding about what's going on in the word of God. Let's look over just a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 4, I want you to see that God desires for you to understand, that he wants you to know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, understand the gift of God that's given you. You didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, but God gave it to you because he loved you. And we're talking about a grace that covers the sins of the multitudes of the whole world. In verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about the situation in school this day and time. You know, everybody wants to send their children down to school, and everybody wants to hope they make good grades, they learn, they understand, they comprehend what's going on. But you know, most of the time in situations, if you have a child that gets behind, he gets a tutor. Have y'all ever noticed that? They'll give him a tutor, or they will hire a tutor to come in and help that child catch up. They're a little slow, a little bit behind. Let's catch them up with everybody else. Well, that's the way God deals with the Holy Spirit. He sends him as a tutor that you might know and understand the Word of God. He said he don't want you to come behind in no gift, wanting in nothing. Now, that's a wonderful thing for some of us that's not real bright. You know that God catches us up. It said, who shall confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? So he wants them to know. Back over to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he sent him out of a high-powered revival meeting up here in the city, and he sent him down to a place that's desert because he's concerned about one person, about one man that don't understand. That's how God deals with you today. He's concerned about your understanding, your knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you might receive him as your Savior. God's desire that all men come to the knowledge of Christ. And in verse 27, and he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to worship in Jerusalem, a part of worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And I can think about the situation, Philip running down a chariot and hanging on to it. And he's listening and going along as this eunuch's riding back toward his own home city. And verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? And I thought about this question so many times, that we preach the Word of God unless it's mixed with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if people have a full understanding because it's written in the Spirit and has to be received in the Spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come to New Salem Baptist Church. I've been praying it for the last month or 6 weeks. Holy Spirit, come. Holy power of God be demonstrated in our church that people not only hear, but they understand the need for a Savior in their life. Philip ran thither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? And the eunuch, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, you think about how much concern and how much love God demonstrated right here. Here's a eunuch. He said he's in charge of all the treasure. He had a man of somewhat, stature or power. And God was concerned about him that he could understand and have knowledge of the Scripture that he has written to the whole world. And so he loved him enough to send him a tutor, to send one-on-one conversation that he might understand. God loves you just as much as you love the eunuch. God hadn't changed. Jesus hadn't changed. Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging in his love and his concern. If he got to his feet over Stephen, he'll get to his feet over you today and the days maybe before this and the days to come. That Jesus is concerned. He's come to his feet. How many times do you think he stood up for you and said, that's one of mine? Let's help him through this situation. Let's give him strength. Let's give him power. Let's give him understanding and knowledge of the word that they go through these things of problems and trouble. Trouble comes. I'm glad God never goes away. And so the eunuch asked him, he said, how can I except some man explain it? In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. Now, that's the preaching we need, that we preach Jesus, the Son of God, Savior of the world, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the world. And verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, understand, this is what it takes for salvation. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we say. It's about what we believe. This eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip had already told him, he said, if you believe thy, with thine whole heart, thou mayest. And so he came qualified to be baptized that day because of his belief on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I pray would happen here today, that somebody could confess the same thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what it's about. That's why we focus so much on these words of God, not on our beliefs, not on our doctrines, not on what we think, but on what God says. That's where we've got to be plain. And just as Philip explained it to the eunuch, we have a Holy Spirit today that will reveal it and explain it to you and give you understanding of what's needed in your life. A lot of people say, well, I just want to be a better person. I've understood that. You know, a lot of people are already good people. It's not about being a better person. It's about being believers on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And I thought about the rejoicing that comes when you find Jesus Christ. Now, that's a happy day, isn't it? When you find the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as your personal Savior, then you have rejoicing and happy days. I believe God demonstrated his love through all three of these men. I believe God will demonstrate his love to you today. And all that's required for you is to accept it. Isn't that an easy thing? Accept it. Accept it. That's what it's about. And God loves you enough that he let his son die. That in your place, he paid the sin debt. Amen. Y'all stand your feet. We'll be dismissed. Let's have a verse of song. We'll sing one verse of song. We'll be dismissed. A lot going on today. Good to see everybody. Had a lot of people, I guess, froze out. You know how that is. Excuses. Hey, man. Y'all know about excuses, don't you? Friend of mine, Leonard Gilbert, one time, I never will forget this, years ago, I asked him about maybe running over, taking the truck, running over to Dalton, picking up a load of carpet for us, and Leonard Gilbert sitting there, and he said, well, no, I can't go, got a hole in my sock. And I said, Leonard, what's that got to do with anything? He said, one excuse is as good as another one. Hey, man, that's true, wasn't it? One excuse just as good as another. It's too cold, some people, this morning. It'll be too wet next week or too hot, you know. So anyway, if you want to find an excuse, you can find one. But I'm going to tell you, I believe if you're like me, I've been blessed by God to get to come here today, get to hear the wonderful singing, and get to share the Word of God, get to spend some time with God's chosen people. You know, that's a good thing. I'm going to go down, and I expect to have a good lunch down in a few minutes. I hope to. I've smelled it all morning. But we're going to sing a verse of song. Anybody need to come pray or God do something for you in life, if you'll come up and ask him, he can handle it. I can't, I don't claim to, but God can handle your situation, whatever it may be. So anybody need to come pray, y'all just come on. One verse. Fishing